Hello? This is Judge Eaton.
Judge Eaton?
Yes.
Hi, Judge Eaton. This is Casey. Would you like me to begin calling the case?
Yes, please.
During this courtroom proceeding, please turn off all phones, please mute your microphone unless talking to Judge Eaton, and counsel are reminded to honor and preserve the dignity of the court at all times. The United States Court of International Trade is now in session. The Honorable Judge Richard K. Eaton presiding over docket number 20-001110, Dali and Masson Woodworking Company, LTV, Cabinets to Go, LLC, and the H&T Cabinet Company, LTV, versus the United States and American Kitchen Cabinet Alliance. Will the parties please introduce themselves to the court, starting with the plaintiff's counsel?
Thank you. This is Stephen Brophy with Hush Blackwell on behalf of plaintiff Dali and Masson.
Plaintiff intervener, Cabinets to Go.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Your Honor. This is Mark Ludwikowski from Clark Hill on behalf of plaintiff intervener, Cabinets to Go.
I'm sorry. Who was that?
This is Mark Ludwikowski from Clark Hill on behalf of Cabinets to Go, plaintiff intervener.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Plaintiff intervener, yes. Ancient Tree.
Yes, this is Alexandra Salzman from DeKeefer & Horgan on behalf of Plaintiff Intervenor Ancient Tree.
Defendant, United States.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Iwana Christie on behalf of the United States.
Defendant Intervenor.
Your Honor, this is Chris Cloutier from Chagrin Associates on behalf of the American Kitchen Cabinet Alliance.
Okay. Well, welcome to you all. Let's see. This is a case of let's start with the plaintiff, Mr. Brophy.
Thank you.
What's the purpose of your motion?
Thank you, Your Honor. The main purpose of our motion regards the Export Buyers Credit Program. This is just another example in a long line of countervailing duty and investigations and reviews in which Commerce has ignored this court's prior decisions and insisted on litigating each and every case, despite the facts being virtually identical. In this case, Commerce again applied adverse facts available to find that Meissen and other respondents benefited from the Export Buyers Credit Program based solely on the government of China's failure to provide certain information on the operation of the program. And despite the fact that respondents submitted declarations from their customers testifying that they did not use the program. As in past cases, Commerce made no attempt to follow up on these affidavits either through supplemental questionnaires or through verification. These are the same facts.
Let's get to verification since that seems to be where the cases have landed now. What is that Commerce did at verification? So they went to China, is that right?
They went to China, Your Honor, and verified Meissen's records, but they never verified. The Export Buyers Program is financing provided to the customers of the Chinese exporters, and the government never tried to verify the statements by those customers that they did not receive any benefits from the program. They did not receive any loans from the China Export Import Bank. And these are basically the same facts the court has dealt with in a variety of cases, the Clearon Corp cases.
Yes. Did in their questionnaires, did Commerce try to discover any loans that the purchasers received?
Commerce did not. We submitted affidavits from the customers stating that they did not receive any such loans. Commerce never...
Well, they didn't say any such loans, but how about any loans of any kind?
Well,
the problem in these cases is that Commerce seems to be reluctant to try to just look at any loans that the purchasers may have had during the period of review, and and then maybe do a sample and see whether or not any of them look like they came from the Exports to Buyers program. So what I'm trying to find out is that they did they elicit from you or elicit from any of your customers any information with respect to loans at all?
No, they did not, Your Honor.
Okay. And then, so once they were in China or anyplace else, they didn't try to verify the affidavits, the certificates that you had received in any way, is that right?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And you believe, as a result of this failure to trying to conduct any verification with respect to loans, or respect, particularly with respect to export IRS program loans, that something should happen, that the Commerce Department's final determination was flawed in some way. What way is that?
I think, as the court has ruled previously in both a series of cases, Clearon, Gizao Tire, Trina Solar, Commerce applied adverse inferences with regard to use of the program, but they weren't missing any information they were missing regarding the use of the program is because of their own failure to ask questions or verify. The only information they claimed to have been missing was from the government of China regarding the operation of the program, but that information was not necessary for Commerce to verify non-use. They could verify non-use.
So the first step, there wasn't any gap in the record.
Exactly, Your Honor.
Okay. And then how about with respect to the second step? Did someone fail to use their best efforts to provide information to Commerce?
Well, allegedly the government of China failed to provide to answer certain questions regarding how the program operates. But it was our position and is in the position of the court in previous cases that that information is not necessary for the department to determine whether the program was used. They could determine whether the program is used from the respondents themselves.
Okay. Is there anything else with respect to the export buyers program?
No, Your Honor. Commerce went through reasons why they could not verify this kind of information, and we.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up just a little.
I'm sorry. Nothing other than the Commerce in their decision memorandum went through the reasons they say they can't verify that kind of information without the information on the operation of the program, which we strongly disagree with, and which the court has disagreed with in prior cases. Again, Commerce did not even try to solicit information on how many loans these companies had. They didn't try to verify any of those loans, and they say they'd be searching for a needle in a haystack if they tried to verify, but we don't even know how much hay there is because Commerce didn't ask how many loans these companies have. That's the same logic that the court rejected in the first remand in Clearon Corp, where they ordered Commerce to consult with the parties and develop alternative verification procedures if needed. And again, Commerce did not try to do anything like that in this case either.
Okay. Anything else?
No. The second issue, we're happy just to rely on our briefs. The second issue regards the benchmark used to...
Well, maybe you could explain it to me a little bit.
Okay.
They used a different benchmark with respect to... each of the two companies, but why is that wrong?
It is wrong because the way Commerce develops the benchmarks is they take export information from public service, or it's actually a subscription service, and the value of the exports is based on HTS number. An HTS classification for plywood is generally based on the type of wood that is used and the thickness of various plies. And there's evidence on the record, as we see in our briefs, that both respondents used the same type of plywood, the same species of plywood, the same thickness of plywood, and it would have been classified under the same HGS number. And admittedly, we submitted one of those HGS numbers. We submitted one HGS number. The other respondent submitted, submitted several different HGS numbers. But actually, Commerce should have stepped in and made its own assessment of which was the correct HGS number, or if both were correct at some different points during the POI, you know, averaged the two. Commerce, however,
and,
didn't...
And you made, even though you had reported under a particular HTSUS number, during the course of the proceedings, you said to Commerce, it's true that we reported under this HTSUS number, but we you should have done something else. And how did you present this argument to Commerce?
Basically, as you said, we did submit that one HTS number, and Commerce used the HTS number we submitted. Our position is, you know, our HTS number is probably the correct one. Or actually, if Commerce were to do...
No, that's not my question. My question is, okay, how did you present the argument to Commerce that you should have used, that they should have used averaging, or they should have used the other respondents?
The argument is presented.
Number, or how did you present it to Commerce?
I was presenting our case brief. And I believe petitioners also made a similar argument in their case brief.
Okay. All right. I think I have it. Thanks. Is there anything else about this case that I should know?
I think that's it, Your Honor.
Okay. So we have a plaintiff intervener. Would the plaintiff intervener like to say something?
Your Honor, we do not take a position on the substantive arguments made by plaintiffs, so we will defer to them on those arguments. We should the court accept them, we request that they be applied evenly across to calculate the all others rate in this case.
And I'm sorry, who are you and who do you represent?
I'm sorry, this is Mark Ludwikowski for Cabinets to Go, plaintiff intervener.
Okay.
Alexandra Salzman for the other plaintiff intervener, Ancient Tree.
Yes.
We have made the same arguments as Meissen in our brief with the same evidence from our customers of non-use and the same situation that the department did not attempt to verify that non-use. So we've made the same argument, so we don't have anything more to add to what has already been said by Mr. Brophy.
Okay. And do you have a position on the HTSUS?
No, that issue, I mean, only affected Meissen as Ancient Tree. The HTS that the department used but for Ancient Tree was different, and we had no objection to that, nor did any other party.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. So let's hear from the government.
Good morning, Your Honor. This is Iwana Christie for the United States. Now, jumping right into the adverse facts available issue, Commerce here concluded that a gap does exist in the information because Commerce simply couldn't verify the information that plaintiffs set forth. Plaintiffs set forth declarations from their customers, but...
Well, maybe we could just jump ahead a little bit because we've had a lot of these cases by now. And it is... The judges on the court have generally said that Commerce can't just throw up its hands and say, this is impossible. And is that what you did in this case, or did you try to verify something with respect to the loans themselves?
Commerce explained in the IDM that it would just be impossible for them to even verify the information because it's essentially looking into a black box. It has the loan information and it has the names of the banks, but Commerce doesn't know if these banks even participate in the program, which banks participate in the program, and then even if it were to look at the actual loan information, Commerce can't differentiate between a regular loan and a Chinese bank loan because it just has no idea what that difference in documentation or loan information would look like. And
well, couldn't you ask the bank?
I'm not sure if Commerce did that here. It seems that I suppose we suppose Commerce could ask the bank, but even then there were a great number. There were a lot of different loans and different banks, and even then it's
well.
Not,
how did you say when you say a lot of how many?
Just looking at the information that plaintiffs recently provided in their responses to the letter, I mean, it looks like there were maybe 50 or so, or maybe more. But even if Commerce went to interview each bank, there's no guarantee that the banks would provide that information, or even if they did.
But how do you know if you'd never ask?
Well, I guess the standard for adverse facts available is just going back to that where an interested party withholds the information. And here the government of China has just completely refused to
I've had this case before, and so has everybody else. And you have received a fair – I mean, have you read the opinions in the other cases?
We have, Your Honor, and we respectfully disagree with the court's decision in Clearon.
We know that you respectively disagree with the decision in all the other cases, and that you seem to be doing is that every time a judge says that you ought to be doing more, you just fold your tent and go home. So, I mean, if you want to keep bringing these cases, it's okay with me. But wouldn't you think that maybe when you next speak to your superiors, you might say, we should either issue a regulation or try to do what the judges say or do something, because we really are just repeating the same thing over and over and over again. Am I making any sense?
No, you are, Your Honor. I completely see where you're coming from. The situation does keep coming up, and unfortunately I don't have any access to that. I'm not part of that decision-making process.
Well, and then the next time you have the brown bag lunch.
Right.
Could you just say that at least one of the judges on the Court of International Trade is a little bit puzzled by what's going on here? So, I think I understand the government's argument. How about on the HTSUS issue?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I'm sorry. Were you about to say something?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. We believe that for the plywood benchmarks, Commerce reasonably determined that the benchmark Meisen submitted was the proper benchmark to use, and there was no information placed on the record to indicate anything to the contrary. Commerce relies on the information placed on that record, and Meisen's benchmark submission showed its use of the UN contrary data to calculate a benchmark using that particular heading. Then Commerce's preliminary calculation memoranda for each company stated which heading was being used for each company and why, and Meisen, for the first time, only claimed a different HTS heading in its administrative case brief. It placed no other information on the record explaining why the initial benchmark it shows would no longer be applicable or why it should be excluded from Commerce's analysis. And so because there was simply no other information on the record to show that this particular benchmark heading was the incorrect one to use and that Commerce should apply the heading that Ancient Tree used to both companies, Commerce reasonably determined that it would not change Meisen's HTS heading.
Mm-hmm. And the reason it was reasonable was not to change it?
Because Mizen placed information on the record that the 0.33 heading was the correct one, and it never placed any information on the record to show the contrary.
Okay.
Or to support.
What if it's their position that you already had the information? What was wrong was the method that you used. In other words, I'm not 100% sure that they were too late in placing information on the record. I mean, would any new information have been required, I guess, to do what the plaintiff wanted you to do?
We believe on page 59 of the IDM, Mizen stated that the HES heading should be revised, but Commerce stated that the record does not support it because it would specifically need information that would lead Commerce to conclude that the HGS category had been discontinued worldwide, particularly where export volume information for this HGS category was placed on the record in petitioner's own benchmark submission. I'm just reading from the IDM, but it appears that Mizen did not indicate that the data should be discounted or in any other way excluded from Commerce's analysis.
Well, if I understand their argument correctly, it would have been that you have all the information because you have it from at least one other respondent, and you just should have done it in a different way. Did Commerce ever directly say, the reason we're not going to do it in a different way is because? How would you complete that sentence?
Mm-hmm. Because Commerce relies on the inputs that respondents use in, explaining what benchmarks are properly applied and which benchmarks most relate to the factors of production that respondents used. And so respondents fully understand what products and what factors go into the products that they produce. And so Commerce relies on that information from respondents, and then unless there is contrary evidence to show that information should not be relied upon. And here there just wasn't that information.
Okay. Is there anything else I should know about the government's position on anything?
No, that's it. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. The defendant intervener?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. This is Chris Cloutier for the AKCA. I think what I can add is perhaps a bit of historical perspective on the China Exim Bank, where Commerce's position has evolved to what it is today based on the refusal of the government of China and the Export-Import Bank to allow verification. Essentially, the Export Bank has told Commerce that it may not verify information at the authority and should rely on the information provided by the respondent companies and their customers. At some point, it became obvious that further inquiry would be futile.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Further inquiry with respect to the government of China would be futile. Yes, with you there.
Yes, Your Honor. And then because the program, unlike others, is incredibly not transparent because the Export-Import Bank controls all of the information, and it is essentially the only place to get information, Commerce's position has evolved to, well, we don't know what we look at, so we can't rely on a statement that a particular company did not use a program when Commerce doesn't understand how the program works.
Mm-hmm. Well, have you read any of these cases? I begin to wonder.
Yes, Your Honor.
Have you read any of these cases?
I've read every one of them, especially Clearon Corporation. And
okay, well, I don't know that that's the best one, but there have been a lot of them. And you know, Judge Reef may be taking a slightly different approach, but the approach generally is, why don't you try to verify the certifications?
I appreciate
it. I won't take long. Commerce doesn't seem to want to do that. And the state, rather than come up with a regulation or appeal one of these cases, Commerce seems to be continuing to just do the same thing. Say at verification, throw up our hands, say we can't do it. Well, why can't you do it? Well, look, then there's no real answer to why we can't do it. And so there's no real frustration with all of this, but it does make one wonder. And so why should I do something different than I've done before if Commerce has not done anything different than it has done before?
I understand the court's point, Your Honor, and I just I do think there is a little bit of a difference in China and in cases where somebody like the China Exim Bank controls all of the information and then tries to dictate to Commerce what it can and cannot see.
But is that any different from cases that we've seen before?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. I'm not trying to berate you. I'm just wondering. Any case, is there anything else I should know?
No, Your Honor. We're comfortable relying on our briefs for all other issues.
Okay. Mr. Brophy.
Yes, Your Honor. I'd just like to clarify one thing the government said. They referred to the 54 loans that were reported in our response to your letter. I'll just clarify that those are loans received by Dolly and Meissen in China. They are not loans received by U.S. customers. Commerce never asked for any information on the loans, any loans received by the U.S. customers. And, you know, for all we know at this point, you know, they have no loans or they have, you know, one loan from one bank that could be easily verified. I just don't think Commerce's claim that its verification is impossible or unreasonably onerous is supported by the record.
Thank you. Okay. Well, thank you for that. Anything else?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Either of the plaintiff interveners have anything they'd like to say?
No, Your Honor. This is Mark Lurikowski for Cabinets to Go.
And this is Alexandra Salzman for Ancient Tree. Just reiterate the same fact that the department has not pursued information from our customers, and they have looked at the respondents in China's, you know, systems and looked at where they received money and all of the documentation there, and also saw could have looked there for evidence of anything from the exports buyers, from banks concerning this, as we briefed, and they did not do so.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who would like to say anything to for the good of the order? Okay. In that case, thank you very much. Court is adjourned.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.